I know that this is a very unusual text for July the 3rd. I looked at possibly preaching something to do with July the 4th. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and different other verses and passages, but I just couldn't get away from this this message tonight, this passage of Scripture, and I believe it's the need. I believe it's the need, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. You know, I could preach on a national context or a subject, but I've never seen too many lives changed on that. You know, we can preach about the politics and the government and what's wrong with our nation and all of that, and that has its place of exposure. But what's needed inside the church is not really a better government. Can I get a witness right there? I want better politicians, but that's not the need of the church. That's not what's needed in the body of Christ. Because you can be spiritual regardless to what's going on with the Republicans or the Democrats or whoever's president or whoever will be next president or whoever's governor. You know, those things we're to pray about, those things I believe we're to vote on, and you know, and all of that. But that is not what's needed in our church. What's needed in our church is what I'm going to preach on tonight. And if that happens, instead of the government affecting the church will start affecting the government. Amen? That's what God's will is anyway. God's people getting in a spiritual condition to where they can affect the nation. Isn't that right? And God looks at the people of God when He wants a nation affected in a spiritual way. A good proof text for that is 2 Chronicles 7:14. God said these words, if my people, who? My people, not politicians, not governmentalist people, my people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and listen, and will heal their land. God says if my people will get where they need to be, I can use them as a channel. I can use them in a way that will affect the land, that will have far-reaching effects. Now look at the effects that Elijah had on the nation. Look at the effects that Moses had on the nation. Look, amen. I mean, look at that. God can use you mightily. I mean, even people in our history that we've read about, like the Wesley brothers and Billy Sunday and a lot of those people, you know, because they got what Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about, they were able to be a vessel unto honor. They were able to be used mightily for the Lord. Amen. And I tell you, friend, listen, that's God's will. That's God's will, that you be used of God. Every saved person that's really born again wants to be used of God. Amen. I mean, when you first get saved, there's a desire in you. You can't explain it, but you have a desire in you. You're wanting to do something for God. You want to tell it. You want to show it. You want to demonstrate it. And that's the way it ought to be. You ought to be used. And I believe this. God never has saved anybody that He did not intend on using. God never saved anybody just to keep you out of hell. That's right. That's right. God saved you to use you for His glory. And verse 1 and 2, the very familiar, you can probably most of you in here can quote it, but I want you to pay attention as we read it again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's bow for prayer and you can be seated. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. I pray that you will take control of our thoughts this evening. Help us to magnify you with your word and speak to us tonight. Deal with every heart, every sinner, every person here that's not where that we need to be. And all of us, I'm sure, have room to move up, get closer, get more serious with our spiritual life. And Lord, it'd be good to see somebody do some spiritual permanent business tonight with you. Lord, to be set free from sin and bondage. It'd be a blessing to see somebody just really commit their lives to you tonight. Have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Well, it's very clear in this passage, it's very clear who it is that the Lord is addressing through God's man, the Apostle Paul. And it starts out by saying, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now, he's addressing the brethren. Everybody that's saved is in the family of God, and we are brothers and sisters. He says he's pinpoint in his specific request. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, here it is, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He's addressing God's people, but he's addressing God's people about something specific, and that is your bodies. Your bodies. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. I know that's very odd for July the 3rd, or in some churches that would be odd for any month or any week or any service. But I couldn't get away from it, and I want to try to mind the Lord. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. I want to preach on your bodies tonight. And there's a lot said in the Word of God about your bodies. Now, I know that some think that God's not interested in your bodies. I've had people make stupid statements to that effect. But that's not so. God is interested. This verse is a proof text among several others that God is interested in your bodies. Now let me get specific here. God is not interested in the bodies of sinners. God never sends a message of sanctification to a sinner. God never sends a message of separation from the world to sinners. God never sends a message on service to a sinner. God is not interested in the body of a sinner. He's interested in the soul of the sinner. What good is it for him to have access to your body if your soul is still unsaved and therefore your heart is not for the Lord? And a good sure sign that you're either lost or 400 miles away from God is that you do not have a heart for the Lord. Doesn't matter what you claim, do you have a heart for God? Is there fruit in your life to testify to that? So I just wanted to make that very clear. God gave me that little statement that God is not interested in the body of sinners. Amen. And sometimes we have to preach, and we preach as we are tonight on your bodies, and we make it very clear to lost people, these things that deal with sanctification and holy living and all of that, that does not apply to sinners. You need to get saved. That's your number one need, and that's God's number one interest in your life, is to save you. But now once you get saved, then he becomes interested in your body. And so I want to deal with some of those things tonight, if the Lord will help me, amen. And let me just say this to the believer tonight, the devil is interested in your body. The devil knows that what he does, he's got to do it through your body. He's got to do it through your body. He's got to use your body as an instrument or a vessel, a channel through which he can do his work. Amen. And so it is God. God must have access to your body, using your body for his glory. I think that we've heard so little preaching about our bodies as far as saved people is concerned. I believe we've heard such little preaching on it. And you could probably go to 1,000 Baptist churches and or get CDs from 1,000 Baptist churches that preached in the last 6 weeks, and probably won't be two of them ever mention anything about your body. And our churches, because of that, the pulpit is silent with preaching on the body, what the Bible says about your body, that our churches are filled with carnality and worldliness. People in our churches think that my body don't matter. God is only interested in my spirit. Amen. That is not so. God is interested in your body. And so I want to say the devil's interested in your body. The world is interested in your body. The world wants to use your body for its agenda. And it's evident when that's taking place. The devil's interested in your body. The world is interested in your body. And let me just say this. Your flesh nature is interested in your body. Amen. You say flesh and body is one and the same. No, you have a flesh nature. You have a fallen nature in you that loves sin, hates righteousness, and loves sin. And I want to tell you that fleshly nature is interested in your body. Your fleshly nature wants to have your body to carry out its desires and its design. But that's not what I want to deal with. I want to deal with the fact that God's interested in your body. God, as a saved person, God is interested, and this verse proves that. God is interested in your body. And we wanted to share some things if we could. First, let me just say this quickly. The thing is that God is driving home in this verse through the preaching of the Apostle Paul, and I'll say more about that in a minute, is that you present your body. That you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so Paul is the man. So here's the message. I want to just give you a few things and we'll go home. Number one, I want to talk about the request for your body. The request. Verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Who is that? That's the preacher. That's the preacher that's doing the preaching. God is leading the preacher to give a plea and a request to the people to present their bodies to God. Now get that. Well, now listen, this just got big to me today, or actually yesterday, where Paul said, I beseech you. Paul wasn't using force right there. I used to think it was my business to produce holiness in the people. And that's why I've got ulcers. Amen. And I found out a long time ago that some of them don't care what you preach, how serious and sincere you are. They're going to do what they want to do. And it's not helping me, or it's not helping them, for me to lay awake at night and worry about it. Amen. Paul just put it out there as a beseech. He put it out there as a beg. He put it out there as a request. He said, I beseech you as a preacher. Thank God for what few preachers are left that are beseeching, begging, asking, pleading, requesting God's people to commit their bodies to the Lord. Surrender their bodies to the Lord. Amen. There are many left. There's not many left. And I preached yesterday in White Pine at the Old Fashioned Fellowship. Hadn't been to it probably in 5 or 6 years, and felt like the Lord wanted me to go, and the Lord birthed a message in my heart. The message I preached here on floating while full, except I didn't preach it that way. I just used that as one of my points. I just preached on the word full. just on the word full and what it meant. And I'm telling you, I couldn't believe what some of the reports came up to me after the service. I'm talking about men, many years my elder that's been in the ministry and said, "Preacher, I'm full. I'm full of my circumstance. I'm full of my situation. I'm full." One man came up to me, and I don't mean to get on that. One man came up to me, just a lay member, and he, tears running down his face. He said, "Preacher, we just found out this week my wife's got cancer, and the doctor said there's nothing she can do." He looked at me and said, "Preacher, I'm full. My soul." Oh, we need encouragement, and we need preachers that'll preach in that regard. But where's the preachers at that is going to preach to God's people, amen, and say, "Look, I beseech you, I beg you, give your bodies to the Lord. Yield your body." And when he's saying body, he's not speaking figuratively. He's speaking literally. Your physical, mortal, earthly, human body. Present it to the Lord and give it to the Lord for him to use. Where's the preachers at? Where's the preachers at that's preaching that? You know why most of them are not preaching it? They haven't given God their bodies either. What, you know why a lot of preachers are not preaching it? Their family hadn't given their bodies to the Lord either. Amen? Some preachers are not preaching it because they know that if they do preach it, they'll be in the unemployment line. Amen? Oh, mercy. I tell you, that's sad, isn't it? If it's in that book, we should want to know it. We should want to hear it. But simply the request for your body is coming from God's man without force. I'm not forcing you. I'm not trying to twist your arm. But it is my responsibility to request and beg and plead, because I know how important your body is to God. And if you don't yield to God with your body, I know how important that is going to be to the devil and what he's going to do with your life. And my experience has been, Lord, help me to preach tonight. Amen. It's been my experience now for 32 years that when a person gets saved, that I've never seen anybody that got serious about their spiritual life that God didn't deal with them about their body, about their holy living. Places they go, things they do, how they carry themselves, how they present themselves, and so on and so forth. Amen. That's been my experience in 32 years. Anybody, no matter who it is, how long they've been saved, if they've gotten serious and about their spiritual life and really want to please God and really want to honor God, God begins to put his finger on things in their life. God wants you to have, he wants your body. So there is the request of the body. There's a request of the body. And by the way, let me just give you this, just on the tail end of that. Paul never used pressure, or he never used force. He used a term, "I beg you, I beseech you, by the mercies of God." What is he talking about? The first 11 chapters. Go back and look at chapters 1 through 11 where he deals with conversion and consecration, and he deals with how God intervened and how God provided our salvation. Paul is saying, in light of how good God's been to you and his mercies, his compassion, in light of that, you ought to present your bodies a living sacrifice. So Paul is giving the request here, and he's not using force. And you know this? God's not going to use force either. Because that's found there in verse number 1 when he said that you present your bodies. Present. Give as a present. Give up as a present. Let another have what belongs to you. Give it over. Amen. God's not going to force you into a life of commitment and dedication. Amen. If his mercies is not motive enough, then I don't know what else will do it. Amen? So we not only see the request, but number 2, and I've already alluded to it, but we just mention it and go on, there is the reasons for it. The reasons for it. There is a reason for it. And the first reason, he looks behind and points out the mercies of God. He looks back and says, God's been merciful. Now we know what mercies represent. Mercies represent God withholding what you deserve. That's mercy. Oh, my soul, you think of what God has withheld that we deserve. I mean, you think if we'd have got what we deserve. Think if you'd have got what you deserve. What if we'd got what we deserve in the last 24 hours? If God should mark iniquity, Brother Silas, who would stand in this room? Amen. None of us in here have arrived. None of us in here, my friend, have reached the status of perfection. Not even close. I'm telling you, if it weren't for the mercies of God withholding from us what we deserve, we'd be in a mess. And God, Paul is saying, that's the reason. Do you need a reason to give God your body? Do you need a reason? There it is. God's mercies. God's mercies, amen? Amen. But not just God's mercies, but God's ministry. Paul goes on to say, and we'll mention it a little bit later on, but God showed through Paul, I've got a plan for your body. I want you to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I've got something big in mind, and I've got to use your body to do it. Did you know, listen, did you know it's important that God has your body? Did you know God is a spirit? The Bible says that God is a spirit. And Brother Silas, you can't see a spirit. You can't see a spirit. So before God could come down here and be effective down here, he had to step into a body. He had to become incarnate. Not reincarnate, but incarnate. He had to become God, the God man. He not the man that become God as Mormonism teach, but the God that become man as the Bible teaches. And so here we find Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Why did God need a body? So man could see him. So man could see what kind of a life he expects us to live. Amen. A body thou hast prepared me, Jesus said. So God had to have a body. Jesus had to have a body in order to manifest the Father. Well, when Jesus went back, who did he send on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit. Again, can't see a spirit. So God, again, is needing a body to work in, to work through, where others can see what he's doing. Well, what body is that? Whose body is that? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in you. And that's not a figure of speech, that's literal. And so we find there that God has need of your body. Amen. God has need of your body. Amen. That's right. Well, there is the request for your body. There is the reasons for presenting your body. And then thirdly, there is the responsibility of presenting your body. The responsibility. Look what it says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, that ye present your body. Now, who is it supposed to do that? We are. In fact, that word there is it, that word is in the active voice, which means the subject is the doer of the action. Paul is saying, I'm beseeching you, I'm preaching it, I'm going to expose you to the truth of it and the need of it, but it's going to be up to you to actually do it. And Brother Tom, I'm convinced that our churches are in the shape they're in because of people not yielding their bodies to God. Because you can't yield your body to God. You can't yield your life to God without yielding your body to God. You can't separate your life from your body. Amen. In fact, I think when your life leaves your body and separates from your body, I think they call that dead. Amen. So if God doesn't have your body, He doesn't have your life. Amen. Now listen to me. This is a big subject. I know some people has downplayed it and said, "Oh, preacher, that's just you're making a mountain out of a molehill." Well, there's a lot of scripture on it in the Bible. There's a lot of scripture about it. Listen to these right here. You want to give? Let me give you some of this. 1 Corinthians 6:13. You know what the Bible says? Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. Now, then, is that a big deal? Your body is for the Lord. How much plainer can it be? Your body is not for fornication or sin or living after the flesh or living after what pleases the flesh. No, the Bible said that your body is for the Lord. And it goes on to say, and the Lord for the body. And he's talking about your human body, your mortal body. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 6:15. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Romans 6:12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust thereof. If the devil can get control of your body, he's got control of your morals. Amen. Philippians 1:20, listen to this verse. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Paul said that. Whether it be by life or by death. Paul said, I want Christ to be magnified. Where? In my body. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said, but I keep under my body, bringing it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know what Paul's saying? If I'm going to fall, I'm going to fall through the wrong use of my body. I don't believe you got that. Paul said, I'm keeping my body in subjection. I'm dealing with my body and keeping it into subjection, because he said, if I'm going to fall, it's going to be through the improper use or the wrong use of my body, giving my body over, using my body for things that are not spiritual. Amen. Listen to this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That's not H-O-L-Y. That's W-H-O-L-Y. Holy. H-O-L-L-Y. Excuse me. Get my spelling right. Holy, meaning completely, totally. I beseech you, listen, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. He said, I pray your whole body. Part of your body or whole body? He said, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. So what's that tell us? That tells us right there, God is not just interested in my soul, my spirit. He's also interested in my body. And by the way, when he died on the cross, his redemption covered for my body. Amen? That's right. Amen. My body's not saved yet, but it will be, according to the Word of God, Romans. To wit, the redemption of the body. The day's coming when my body's going to be redeemed. Yeah, that's right. God included it in the redemption plan. But let me hasten on. There's the request for us presenting our bodies, yielding our bodies. There's a request. There's the reason for it. There's the responsibility of it. That is, it's our responsibility to do so. It's not going to be an accident. It's not just going to happen. We're going to have to be responsible. How many times have I said it around here? It's worth repeating. Your spirituality is your responsibility. Or we could say it reverse of that. Your responsibility is your spirituality. Amen. They're inseparable. They're inseparable. Number four, I guess it would be number four. Let's look at something else. Number four, the release of it. The release of it, where he said, and that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, that you present. That has the idea of you taking your hands off, yielding your body over to the control of another. Now listen, I studied a long time ago. It's been many years ago. I done a study on rock music. And I found out a lot of those people could do supernatural things. I mean, not natural things. They were supernatural things. Things that they could do on stage and so forth. And you know what? It was people that had, by their own testimony, had given themselves over and yielded themselves to the devil and literally were demon-possessed and empowered. I'm going to tell you, the devil knows the key to power is possession. He knows that if I can possess you, I will empower you. God knows that too. God knows that if I can possess you, I can empower you. Have you ever wondered why we don't have much power in church? Very few people are possessed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's right. Amen. And back then I had quotes and testimonies of some of those guitar players of mentioning that when they get on stage, this power comes over them and takes over. We wonder why our world is going to hell every second and the church is having very little effect on the world and the world's having a big effect on the church. It's because the world's empowered by the prince and power of the air and the church is playing games. The Spirit of God cannot empower us if we are not yielded, if we're not submitted unto Him. So there's the release. Get your hands off of it. Let God have it. Amen. That word present means to exhibit, to commend, to give presently, to yield to. The first mention of this word present or to present, the word is mentioned first in Matthew 26, 53. Jesus is on the cross, and here's what He said. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? There it is. The same word Paul used here, present, to present your bodies, is the same word where Jesus said the Father could give me 12 legions of angels. That is, the Father would yield that over to me, Jesus said, to where I could use them as I will and as I please. That same mentality is in Romans 12. When God says you to present your bodies, that is, you're to yield it over to Him for Him to do with it as He pleases. Very few people in church are there. Very few people in church are interested in being there. Amen. Classically illustrated with the three places that the Israelites lived. Egypt, type of the world. They were brought out of Egypt into a land called the wilderness. The land of Canaan was the spiritual life. How many that came out of Egypt went in? Out of over 2 million people, only two of them went into the spiritual life. That's still that way today. Still that way today. The majority of people that have come out of Egypt in salvation, supposedly, will live and die in the wilderness zone. In the wilderness zone. God help us. Amen. I don't want to live there, and I don't want to die there. Amen. So there is the release of it. Get your hands off of it. Let God. Well, it's my body, preacher. We get that message in the media. It's my body. I'll do with it what I want to. If you're saved, it's not your body. In fact, the truth is, if you're saved, you're not your own, according to Scripture. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. How's this going over for a July 3rd message? Amen. Yeah. Some of you'd rather hear the Democrats and Republicans hounded and harassed and exposed and everything, crucified. You're dealing with the body, buddy. That gets right personal. Yeah, that gets personal. Amen. But there's the release of it. And then there is There is the reasonableness of it. Oh, that's a point right there that we need to mention. There's the reasonableness of it. Look what it said, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Right. Something reasonable is within reach. Well, preach, I don't know. What Romans 12, 1 and 2 is talking about, I can't do it. No, you can do it. It's just that you won't do it. Amen? Isn't that right? Reasonable. What is? Have you ever used this term like when you went to a grocery store or something, or you went shopping for something, and you said, well, that's a reasonable price. You know what you're saying by that term? You're saying, well, they're not asking too much. Amen. When you say reasonable, you're saying, no, they're not asking too much. That's okay. That's a fair price. Well, when God, what God is presenting to us in verse 1 and 2, the Bible says it, not me, the Bible says, which is your reasonable service. It's within reason. It's not too much. God is not asking too much. Amen. So there's the reasonableness of it. And of course, by the way, just want to mention this in passing, there's a requirement of it. What's mentioned in verse 1 and 2 is a command. It's not a choice. It's not optional. It's given as a command for us to do. Are you listening? And then look at this, and I'll be done right here. There is the results of it. Thank God there's a result. There's going to be a result produced. Look in verse number 2. And be not conformed. Now you can't expect to do verse 2 until you've done verse 1. That's why it starts out with and. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That word conform and that word transform caught my attention. And you've studied it, I'm sure, and all of that. But here's a good way that God gave me to explain that. Conformity versus the word transform. Be not conformed to this world means do not be pressed into the mold. You've probably had some experience of pouring concrete where you got it formed up. In other words, and when they pour that concrete, it stays inside the form. The form molds the concrete. Well, that's what this meaning right here. Be not conformed. Do not let the world mold you. Do not let the world dictate to you what you do and how you act and all of that. And most people in the church are being controlled by the world. It's evident in their life. But let me give you this. This is the way the Lord gave it to me. This word conform has to do, my friend, from the outside in. And transform has to do from inside out. See, the world starts on the outside and begins to mold the outside and begins to conform the outside. Amen. That's what fads and fashions show. That's what's revealed there. The world putting you in its mold. I tell you, there's people today. Back when I was in school, I know this is kind of funny because that's a long time ago. I remember, Brother Tom, dreaming about having a pair of orange Converse tennis shoes. They were in when I was in school. And orange, of course, was our color. And I mean, playing basketball, man, I needed me a pair of orange. Hey, I guarantee you, one of these young people, you couldn't have held a gun to their head 6 months to a year ago and made them wear a pair of them Converse tennis shoes. Ugliest looking things. Not comfortable, ugly, as everything. But now, out there all wearing it. Why? It's in. And when it goes out, none of them will be wearing them. If they're so good now, why not wear them later? That's bondage. Whatever's the latest, I've got to have it, Mama. I guarantee, listen, I believe this, and I don't want to get sidetracked here, but I believe this. I believe if Hollywood said that it was in to wear an old toe sack, I mean, you know, pour the taters out and just make some, put armholes in it, you know, and put it on, that's in. That's in. I guarantee you, there'd be some right here in this service wearing a toe sack tomorrow. Just because of that. That's bondage. That's bondage. Do not be not conformed to the world. Quit letting the world mold you. They start on the outside. See, that's the outside's important because I can tell if the world's molding you by looking at the outside. Because they target the outside. The world doesn't target the inside. The world targets the outside. Amen. Well, preacher, the outside don't matter. Well, it must. The world targets that. Oh, that's good preaching. Yeah. Well, I don't know where you get all that preaching on the outside stuff, preacher. Well, the world targets it. Amen. Oh, yes. Well, preacher, you're not dressing that. You're not in. Well, it don't matter. As long as I don't stink and it's nice, it's fine. Amen. Oh, glory. Somebody said, man, I should have shot firecrackers tonight. Be not conformed, but the alternative to that is, but be ye transformed. By the renewing of your mind, let God, the conformity is what the world does. Transform is what God does, which starts on the inside and develops to the outside. And we know that to be, what do they call it? A metamorphosis? We've all saw that. The caterpillar that's nothing attractive, just an old unsightly worm crawling through the dirt. Makes its way up on a limb, makes itself a grave, a cocoon, amen, and gets inside there and goes through a process. And when it comes out, it is transformed. It comes out a butterfly. But Brother Yarnell, the truth is, it was a butterfly all along. What it was on the outside was what it was on the inside the whole time. It just had to die. Out. Had to go through that metamorphosis to where the exterior died. The old worm died off. Amen. The butterfly didn't die, Brother Barry. The butterfly didn't die. Just the worm died. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Oh, and when we yield to God, what we are on the inside don't die. It's just the exterior dies. God wants us to be changed. God wants to bring out on the outside what's on the inside. Amen. Boy, I like that myself. That's good, ain't it? God says, I want you to present your bodies. And the results of that is you won't be conformed to the world. Amen. And you'll be transformed. By the renewing of your mind. And then he said, as a result of you yielding your body, you'll be able to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants your body. God needs your body. And there's a lot said in the scripture about your bodies. We need a revival of that. That God's people would get serious to the point that we would yield ourselves to God. Romans 6 tells us that your bodies are the members of Christ. Now, listen to this verse right here. I meant to read it earlier and I'll be done. Listen to this. Romans chapter number 6. Listen to this verse right here. I did read this verse earlier, but I didn't read the next verse. The verse I read, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey the lust thereof. The next verse says, neither yield ye your members. Listen to this word right here. Neither yield ye your members. Talking about the members of your body. As instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive unto dead. And here comes that word again. And your members, yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You know what that word instruments means? You can look it up. It means weapons. You yield your body, your members, your hands, your eyes, the members of your body, you yield it to unrighteousness, then you're given the devil weaponry to fight against God with. But if you yield yourselves, yield your body to God in righteousness, you're giving Him weapons that He can use for the glory of Himself. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.